Next up on the show today, this past Saturday was the official opening of Taranaki Retreat. This service is Taranaki's first suicide prevention refuge, and I spoke to one of the retreat's founders, Jamie Allen, about the opening. I began by asking him about the kaupapa of the retreat.
Primarily, we're here for suicide prevention. We're here to make a difference when people are struggling with anything that really might be more than you can handle right now. If there's pressure and it's bubbling up and that's proving to be just a little bit too much or significantly too much, then we're here to accommodate and support people in that situation. So sometimes people get in touch and we help them if they're just dealing with suicidal thoughts at the moment, or it might be that they're right in the midst of that experience. It might be that they've made an attempt on their own life, and or it might be that it's something that they've been through with someone in their family. Or it might simply be that there's other stuff which is going on where some time out and support might be helpful. So that might be around debt support, or it might be around housing, or it might be around kind of family breakdown. You know, all those kind of things which can be really contributory to you not being able to manage the situation anymore.
Right, and why did you decide to start this retreat yourself?
Well, I think we were in the, first of all, we were in the situation where we were blessed by a place that gave us some time out and supported the family. So we've had some first-hand experience of what a difference it can make to have the right support network in place at the time. And that was coupled with a growing sense that there were some significant gaps that really needed the community itself to step up to and find a way to approach those kind of challenges that perhaps we whinge and whine because the DHB isn't seeing to, or the government isn't funding or enabling to happen, but actually the community itself in some way, shape or form needs to take the initiative, because that's the grassroots, that's where it's really going on.
Right, and this is the first service of its kind in this community in Taranaki. What were the options for people in that area before this retreat was opened?
Yeah, so like any other community, I guess there are many, many ways in which people can be supported. There are many caring services, and I think part of what we do here is support people through advocacy and accessing services which are really there for them. But it may be that, there is too much pressure at the moment to be able to see the wood for the trees. Or it may be that there are other issues perhaps around literacy, or just simply around social anxiety, which is making it really difficult for people to access what they need. Or it could simply be that the situation is so crushing that it doesn't feel like there's any hope. I think as well there are some fantastic provisions here for when you fit a certain criteria in terms of perhaps a medical diagnosis, or a certain set of circumstances that when those are recognised, then the community can provide really well. But I think we've had a growing awareness that it's easy to fall through those cracks and think that, well, actually my situation isn't as bad as somebody else's and therefore it doesn't need to be dealt with. Whereas the reality is that none of us is immune from suffering. And part of our work in helping to lift taboo around that is acknowledging that this place and what it seeks to provide is really about every single one of us with our common humanity. And we've been on a journey with that ourselves, I suppose, and acknowledging that, indeed, it's for us all. It's not for some kind of them set of people out there. It is for all of us.
Absolutely. And what kind of specific support services do you offer?
Yeah, so the way the framework operates is that the retreat environment itself provides a breathing space, hospitality, a pretty beautiful place to stay, a cozy house, all the immediate needs catered for, good food, companionship. And within that environment, we have a cracking, awesome support team who work with people to figure out, A, what is at the heart of what's popping up in terms of symptoms, and those symptoms might be unmanageable stress, for example. So what's at the heart of that stress? And that figuring that out, taking some time to figure out the depths of what's going on at the heart of the person, whether it's to do with something in our past or something that's pressing on us right now. You know, that really takes some time. And so the support team's role and every guest who stays works closely with a member of our support team who is in role really to make sure that whatever task it is that you come to the retreat with is seen through, so that by the time you leave, there's a long-term plan in place for how we're going to go forward. And that might involve a further visit to the retreat, or it might be getting the framework in place and make sure it's seen through long-term, so that that support, maybe it's counselling, maybe it's some really cracking good budgeting advice, maybe it's working around housing, but that is dependably going to go forward from your stay. So from the very moment you arrive, there is a plan in place for the moment that you're going to leave, and the sort of the support of the community and all the ways it can provide is surrounding you. So there's no sense of ongoing isolation in what you're quietly suffering.
Right, and there's a lot of kind of aspects to it as well. You've made the retreat free, which I think is a big important part to it, and people can come alone or with families. How did you come to make these kind of decisions?
Yeah, I think we've been inspired by, again, personal experience, what we've encountered. We were really helped by a stay at Ronald McDonald House, well, several stays, while our daughter was sick. And you know, one of the things that touched us most deeply about that experience was that even though we were there for some months, nobody at any point said anything like, oh, have you any idea how much this is costing? It was just, you'd arrive and they'd say, there's your room, down the corridor, welcome, get to know everyone. And at your worst hour, that's just, it's another pressure off. And we came to realize that if this offering was to be any use, it needed to be along the same lines, so that we're not saying, look, we're here to help you, but actually we will need your credit card first. And so we needed to find ways in order that the service could be reliably and dependably offered sustainably without there being any cost whatsoever to anybody who's going to stay. And I think another real significant aspect to the model here is that it's hugely about finding some reciprocity, some give and take in your situation, because none of us like to be entirely recipients. And so the environment's really structured so that while you're here, you can use some of your time to get stuck into the life of the community as it works for you, if it does work for you to do that. So, you know, it might be that you can help work on the land. We're really hot on the place being sustainable in terms of its food production, so that the land is tended and organically producing good vegetables and fruit for us to live on. And so people's stay might involve some kind of care of that. We've got a swagger of animals here who are part of the healing environment, and caring for them might be something that people are into during their stay, those sorts of things. As the model's grown and developed, as we've worked towards it operating, we've listened really carefully to the very people who we're going to be serving, many of whom have been completely critical and fantastic in the process of building it, and have come along with their experience and their story and have gone, hey, how about we do this, or maybe we do it that way. And we've intentionally made it part of our model that the environment is self-healing like that, that we take on board everybody's experience and figure out how we fit it in and accommodate it.
Right, and the opening was this weekend. Can you tell me a bit about how that went?
Yeah, I found it personally quite an overwhelming experience, really. Certainly since we first found the land and started building it. As I say, a lot of healing work has gone on through it, including a lot of people who've worked on the build, who've brought their own mana and their own wider to this place. But yeah, to see the community gathering, it was a bit of a spectacular weather day. And, oh, heck, the people just turned out and supported it. And, yeah, it was really moving to look around at all the faces and know a lot of the stories around people's own burden of grief, you know, a lot of people's own contact with loss through suicide, their own touch with that, and their courage and resilience and their sense of wanting to make it better for other people. So there was a sense of trust in what the community had done here, which is both enabling and terrifying at the same time in the best possible way. I was most moved, I think, by the courage of some of the people who rocked up and said, actually, we're here because we need this. Can we talk about that? And I think that takes some immense courage, you know, not just to acknowledge you're in that space where it would help to get some support, but actually to rock up and say, here I am. So I really honour that, and we're underway. We've been operating a little bit under the radar with people helping them where we can, according to how the site's been configured at the time. But it's a huge relief finally to be in the position of getting the model fully working.
Yeah, and just lastly, how can people kind of find out more about the retreat and support?
Yeah, so thanks for asking that. I think the first thing to say is, look, this provision is in place now, and our primary focus is on serving people who are in need of it. And so it's really easy to find out our process for that. And the process is as simple as we can make it. There's a contact form to use on our website, and an inquiry form that we will process from there, and then one of our team will get in touch and we'll get things moving. So if people are thinking, well, is this for me, or is this for the person I know in my life who's in this situation right now, I encourage people to have a look and not to hesitate. And if it doesn't feel like a right match, we'll figure that out together. Secondly, the whole thing entirely runs on team and people bringing their own experience and expertise and skills and mana and gifts to their basketful to join up with ours, and we're completely aware and acknowledge that. So people support is really critical and key, and I mean, it feels like we're a bit of a on a journey together with the wider community, and that's really enabling. And I'm really hopeful that this is something that different communities will develop in their own ways. You know, Mike King was here speaking at our opening, and he referred to the possibilities for a similar model working in many other environments and communities, and we're really keen to see that happen. So we'd love people to get onto our Facebook page, just have a look for Taranaki Retreat and like us, or hit our website, taranakiretreat.org.nz, and get in touch.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
That was Taranaki Retreat co-founder Jamie Allen talking about the new suicide prevention support refuge in Taranaki. After the break, we'll have Mimi A talking about that viral BBC video and the assumption by many that the Asian woman in the background was a nanny when she was in fact, the commentator's wife and the mother of the children in the video.
You've reached Telekiwi Nessus, New Zealand's number one psychic hotline. Please hold the line for your specially selected clairvoyant.
Hello, this is Susan. What can I foresee for you?
Hi, I was hoping you could tell me what the traffic is going to be like on New North Road this afternoon.
Right, let me just see. Okay, Ooh, it's not looking good.
Really? Your psychic powers are telling you that?
My psychic powers? Dude, you're driving a car in Auckland. Of course you're going to get stuck in traffic.
There are easier ways to get the juice on your forthcoming traffic woes, the best being the 95BFM traffic report. Every weekday on Breakfast and Drive, we'll let you know which streets are arse to ankle and which roads are flowing free. The 95BFM traffic report, proudly brought to you by Scootling, your key to unparalleled freedom with a range of styling scooters and mopeds to ease all your congestion woes. Visit them at 310 Great North Road and online at scootling.co.nz, the spiritual homeland of city movement.
So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The